The debate over freedom of speech and protecting it on college campuses in Wisconsin is in another round. Republican lawmakers in the Assembly have reintroduced a bill that would make some changes to how free speech is regulated and protected on campuses. That would create some significant punishments for public universities and technical colleges that are found to be in violation of students' or employees' rights. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the current state of free speech and expression policies at Wisconsin's institutions of higher learning? Are there changes you'd like to see? Do you have questions about what is in this legislation? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Rich Kramer is a reporter for WPR who covers higher education. Rich, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob, thanks for having me.
Now, you reported this is the fourth time we've seen Republican lawmakers circulate a bill like this one. What are the sponsors' main goals as they talk about this?
Well, the main goals, as per the testimony that I've heard a few times now over the years, is to ensure that campuses aren't, first of all, that they're educating students about free speech rights, the First Amendment of the Constitution, and making sure that there are some penalties for campuses or administrators or anyone who violates that. So it's been an ongoing discussion about, you know, what does free speech on campus really mean, and essentially who decides.
Before we dig into the details of the legislation, Rich, what has happened in the past? How far along in the process did a similar legislation get?
Well, basically the bills, and maybe Joe can correct me later on, but the bills have been introduced. There's been some amendments, but they just haven't finished, you know, they haven't crossed the finish line before the end of the session. And, you know, part of that is there's hundreds of bills considered every single session. And, you know, lawmakers have priorities that change from time to time. But these free speech bills, which have changed a little bit over the, you know, the various iterations, they just haven't gotten a full vote, as far as I know, on the in the state assembly or in the state senate. And I know for a fact that they've never made it to the governor's desk.
Mm-hmm. Now let's look at some of the particulars here. One would be requiring regular surveys of students and employees around, as you just mentioned, that First Amendment knowledge, perceived political bias, culture of censorship. We had a survey along these lines. There was some controversy. Can you talk about its role in this legislation, Rich?
Well, I'll say that the legislation or this idea of this bill predates that survey, for what it's worth. That survey was done by the University of Wisconsin System, I believe last year, or it was, the results were released last year. And the essentially it found that you know, conservative students, or those that identified as conservatives among the respondents, felt less free to give their opinion in class. They were worried that, first of all, their peers would kind of ostracize them. They were worried about social repercussions. They were also worried that they might get a lower grade in some cases if they brought, you know, their conservative viewpoints up in class. And it kind of goes to that idea that we've heard a lot about from conservatives, that, you know, universities are generally very liberal places. That's the main ideology on campus. And that survey also found that liberal students in general were more comfortable, you know, canceling conservative speakers or canceling any speaker for their viewpoints than conservative students were.
Now, a big part of this bill has to do with consequences if any campuses, this is the public university, the University of Wisconsin system, and technical colleges, penalties if they violate norms established in this law of free speech. What could some of those penalties look like?
Well, there's a few of them that I'll rattle off here. Essentially, it would allow students or anyone really who feels that their free speech rights on campus were violated by policies or administrative actions, they could sue the UW System Board of Regents or Technical College Board at the local level. And if a judge agrees that a violation occurred, the person bringing that suit could win damages between, I believe, a minimum of $500 and a maximum of $100,000. It also would potentially result in the loss of what's known as a Wisconsin grant. That's a state grant that goes to universities, used for financial aid, essentially, for students. if a university is found to have, I believe it's two violations in a 5-10 year period, something like that. And also it would require universities that were found to repeatedly violate free speech rights to post on its admissions material that goes out to prospective students a statement essentially saying we didn't follow the law with regard to free speech rights, and they'd have to keep that on their materials for 4 years as kind of a warning for prospective students.
Talking to WPR reporter Rich Kramer, he covers, among other things, higher education, looking at a bill in the state legislature aimed at promoting and protecting free speech on college campuses with, as we just heard, penalties for campuses that violate the terms of that law, if it were to become a law. Now, Rich, have we heard a response from the UW, from the technical colleges as this thing has moved along?
Yeah, there's written testimony, and there was a public testimony at the hearings from spokespeople or government relations people with the University of Wisconsin system or the Universities of Wisconsin system and the technical college boards. And in a nutshell, the UW folks say a lot of what you want to do in this bill, we already do in our regent policy. That policy is 4-21, and that changes were made to that a little while back. But proponents of these bills say you need teeth for any of this to really matter. You have to have repercussions. So the UW systems or the UW spokesperson says that, you know, those kind of punishments would adversely impact students' financial aid. That's for one. And also the tech systems had similar concern about these punishments.
And Rich, what is the next piece of this story that you're watching for to see if this legislation moves further than it has in the past?
Yeah, I guess I'll just be watching. You know, the committee had their public hearing, which is the first step, you know, after the bill has been introduced. And then they would take a vote in the executive session. Then from there, it goes potentially for a full floor vote and a full in the Assembly and Senate, and then to the governor's desk. So beyond that, I mean, I'll just be watching if this bill keeps coming up, if it doesn't make it to the finish line this go round.
Rich, thanks again for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That's WPR's Rich Kramer, a reporter who covers higher education. We talked to him today about a renewed Republican effort in the state legislature to update free speech protections on public campuses, including consequences for colleges that are found to have violated them. Coming up, we'll hear from a national group, a supporter of most of the provisions of this legislation, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. You just heard some of the basics there. We'll dig into some more of the details, and you could share your thoughts. Do you think we need to see these kind of changes? 800-642-1234 is the number, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk about free speech and expression on college campuses. Republicans in the legislature have again advanced a bill that would punish universities and technical colleges in Wisconsin that violate a set of free speech guidelines. We heard about some of the details of that bill with WPR reporter Rich Kramer. Joe Cohn joins us now, legislative and policy director for the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. He testified last week before the Wisconsin Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee, largely in support of the bill while pressing for a specific change. Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
I want to pick up on something Rich mentioned. The response from the university in particular is, hey, the Board of Regents, they're the agency empowered to deal with this kind of stuff. They have a policy in place. What do you see as the need for the state legislature to define things in state statute?
Well, let me say a couple things about that. The first is that, you know, FIRE rates schools' written policies on whether or not they are constitutional and with respect to free speech rights. And there are no schools in Wisconsin that get our green light rating that they're completely constitutional. So the idea that the Board of Regents have really stepped to the plate and done completely the right thing is just wrong. They've made progress. They've made important progress that they should be, you know, recognized for in adopting the Chicago Principles, which is a gold standard kind of statement of the principles at play of free speech. But when rubber hits the road, there are still policies on the ground that do not comply with the First Amendment. The second thing I would say is that the Board of Regents is unable to provide remedies to students when rights are violated, either through institutional policy or if one of their employees does the wrong thing when there's a controversy. Only having real meaningful access to courts fixes that, and the legislature is in a much better position to do that. It's either Congress or the legislature. No one else can.
What are some of the measures you see on Wisconsin public university and college campuses that that fall short of First Amendment protections?
Well, they have overbroad anti-harassment policies that don't track Supreme Court definitions of when speech crosses from being protected but maybe rude to being unprotected, discriminatory, harassing conduct. And tracking those lines is necessary because it's required under the Constitution at public schools, but it's also necessary for people to have kind of the freedom to speak their minds and interact with each other in a non-sanitized way in learning environments where we expect there to be conflict.
Yeah, in the bill, as written up by the Legislative Reference Bureau, the bill would bar, and I'm going to quote here, university rules that, here's where the quote starts, sanction individuals or groups for discriminatory harassment unless the speech targets its victims on the basis of a protected class under law and is so severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive that it effectively bars a student from receiving equal access to educational opportunities or benefits. Now, one could imagine a lot of harassment that's pretty bad that doesn't rise to that standard, and a university saying, well, hold on, we want to have a collegial atmosphere. We need to be able to enforce that. Is it hard to establish that somewhere a middle ground between, you know, we're ruining your educational experience completely on the basis of, say, a protected class versus this is worse than we want in our collegial attitude here?
Well, you know, hold on with that. First of all, that language is directly from the United States Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. It's an opinion in Davis versus Monroe County Board of Education authored by Justice O'Connor, but joined by Ginsburg, Souter, Breyer, Stevens. So it's hardly a, you know, conservative perspective on when you have to cross the lines. And the court was very careful in setting it because you expect students to argue with each other. It's the same line in the educational setting, by the way, K-12 and college. And you can see how if you don't require it to be both pervasive and and severe, if it's only one or the other, kids tease each other all the time. Kids go after each other all the time. And if in higher education, you need to be able to have robust disagreements. And, you know, quite frankly, in higher ed, you expect to have arguments and expect to have them sometimes be heated.
We're going to call her at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us in Brookfield. Jim, hi.
Hey there. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think it's necessary, and it's kind of a shame to the institution that they have to be taught what free speech is. I mean, the left and the, you know, the ones who are the liberal people who are running these institutions cannot argue anymore about their policies, and then when they are faced with the argument, they have to call it hate speech. They have to shut it down. It's pretty embarrassing that this has to happen. It's not just Wisconsin, it's everywhere. And I'm glad some people are stepping up and starting to not donate at, you know, to these institutions, because I think that's the only thing that's really going to make a difference is when the dollars stop rolling. And I do applaud the efforts here from your guest, and I think he's a great guest. And thanks for having him on. It's another side of this conversation. You're pretty trustworthy to do this. I appreciate that.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Joe, your thoughts on what Jim brought up?
Well, first of all, I want to thank him for that, and just say that there's never been a golden era of free speech on college campuses, but we are seeing levels of censorship at institutions of higher education across the country that are unprecedented. The numbers of disinvitations, the numbers of attempts to block speaking events, including circuit court judges at Stanford, you know, University Law School, for example. You know, we are seeing an unprecedented number of attempts to get faculty members fired for saying things that are controversial as well, numbers that far exceed the numbers during the entire Red Scare. So we have to take this threat very seriously. And the only way around it is, well, two prongs. One, we need laws and that require policies that comply with free speech norms and case law. And then the second prong is that we need to work on improving a culture of free speech, which requires a culture of listening to each other, no matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Jim, thanks for the call. Talking to Joe Cohn with the Group Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, or FIRE, about legislation filed by Republicans, the fourth attempt to pass something like this on free speech and expression on college campuses, and consequences if those policies aren't followed. Joe, I wanted to bring up one point on this legislation that you opposed in your testimony, and that has to do with the venue where some of these things are argued. Could involve courts, but under the legislation, it could also be a legislative committee, and you have concerns about that.
Yeah, I do. So this bill has provisions on campus free speech that we've talked about, and it has provisions on academic freedom for faculty that we haven't yet talked about. But the third section of the bill provides robust due process protections for students so they can't be expelled without fair procedures. Wisconsin is one of three and only three states in the country where there is no due process right to continued right to an education. But one problem with this bill is that it allows for a committee of the legislature to hear complaints that schools cut corners in these disciplinary proceedings. Now, that interjects politics into that process in a way that's unproductive and potentially unconstitutional with the separation of powers problem. But lastly, it's also just unwise. Do we really think the legislature's time is best spent hearing as an sitting as an appellate body over every campus due process case at all of your institutions of higher education? I don't think so.
Let's go back to our callers. Andrew is with us in Milwaukee. Andrew, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call. I was interested in hearing an opinion about the actions of Ron DeSantis in Florida, essentially outlawing pro-Palestinian student groups, and the politicization or the political appointed board of regents, and how politics could play into what is acceptable free speech or unacceptable free speech.
Andrew, thanks for the call. And Joe, I believe I saw a statement from FIRE on that issue in Florida that Andrew's talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Andrew, for that question. A lot of what's happened across the country is just unconstitutional, including what you described in Florida. You know, the right to protest is an essential part of free speech. It doesn't depend on people being right about their cause. And in fact, you know, the Constitution itself requires viewpoint-based neutrality so that we don't have those determinations when deciding who has the right to engage in protests. Now, not all of the protests will necessarily be constitutional. You can cross lines. You can block egress from buildings. That's alleged to have happened at Cooper Union in New York, where it looks like students were barricaded in a library, Jewish students, by an angry mob of protesters. That's not protected conduct. So, you know, but across the board, the right to just engage in speech in support of the Palestinian cause is protected, even if, you know, it proves, you know, over the test of time that their cause lacked merit. The First Amendment doesn't make those determinations.
Andrew, thanks for the call. Excuse me. Roger joins us in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Roger, hi.
Good afternoon. I was a student at the University of Minnesota at Duluth in 1965. The university had, at that time, I hope it still does, a strict policy of the speakers cannot incite to riot or rebellion. They have to be sponsored by a student group. We had Arnold Johnson, who was treasurer of the American Communist Party, and George Lincoln Rockwell, who was America's chief Nazi, speaking a day apart. And, of course, there was controversy, but the university officials said they met the requirements so they can speak. And the provost said even President Kennedy in 1963, 2 years earlier, had to be sponsored by a student group, the Young Democrats. And I feel that's what should be the policy. Thank you much for giving me my little speech.
Roger, thanks for the call. Joe, is that the attitude you'd like to see?
Well, you know, thanks, Roger. It certainly isn't a constitutional problem in a lot of parts of the country. The circuits are not even on this. They're not uniform on this question, but it's constitutionally allowed in a lot of the country to make a distinction between those who are invited guests and just the public's right to use university spaces. What I would say is that no matter how hateful you think some speech is, there is value to society in having it out in the open versus suppressing it, because suppressing speech doesn't eliminate those attitudes, doesn't change hearts and minds. It pushes it underground where it festers, where it metastasizes. So, you know, people do themselves a favor, you know, do our society a favor, sorry, when they put their ideas out in the public to be evaluated, scrutinized, and sometimes even viciously criticized.
Thanks for that call. Joe, as we've mentioned, this legislation in Wisconsin, the fourth try here. Do you have any sense that it is any more likely to advance further in the legislature this time around?
Well, I hope so. And we're going to be trying to get it all the way through. The lower house, you know, has a lot of drive to get this done. It's yet to be seen if the Senate is equally interested in moving this forward, but over 21 states have passed bills, and a lot of them with very broad bipartisan support. And this is one of the better bills in the country once that line we discussed is cut. It's one that doesn't take a partisan perspective on free speech rights, that mimics Supreme Court standards on different types of speech codes that are common across the country. And students of all different political persuasions will benefit from having these rights locked up into law with an ability to vindicate their rights if they're violated in court.
Joe, we'll leave it there. Provide. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Joe Cohen with the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, or FIRE. We talked to him about his group's support for a Republican bill in the state legislature that would make some changes around free speech on college campuses in Wisconsin.